If you're having trouble seeing wherever you are, feel free to get up and move so where you can see, because you'll be wanting to read these notes. And so anyhow, at this time, without any more that ado, I'm going to introduce to you again Dr. David Homer from Trinidad, and he has been teaching us, and we are excited about what we're learning, but there's another part to it. And I went home and I was talking to my wife just a little bit, and again, I want to say she was here all morning and all afternoon. She hasn't been in church for over 2 months, and I just want to share this. On last Friday night, she became very ill. And the only thing I could think to do anymore, at first I asked her, do you want me to take you to the hospital? She said, no, I'm not going to the hospital. And I said, the only thing I know to do is call for the elders of the church to come and anoint. So I made some phone calls. There was a lot of people weren't home. It was in the last minute. But they came over and they laid hands on her, and there was a change immediately in her. And color came back to her face, and she said, I start to feel like I could breathe again, and like my body was picking up. And anyhow, through this week, day after day, they were coming and anointing her with oil. And she started to drive again. She hasn't been driving much, and so she drove again. I wasn't sure what was going to happen Friday night, and I'm just so grateful to God. And I know that I said to her after she was here all day, I said to her when I got home, I said, wow, so much that we're taking in. She asked me this question, and I want to leave this with you. So what are we going to do to take it from hearing to being? That excites me. What are we going to do from taking hearing? You have to hear first and you have to believe. But if we leave it at that, it will leak out. It will not accomplish what it was sent to do. So I'm challenging us. We're hearing. But after hearing, the work begins to becoming what we're learning. Amen? And we have to do that individually, but we have to do it corporately too. So again, Dr. David Homer, please come and just give what God has for us, and I won't take any more of your time, I promise.
Good evening, everyone. Did you guys have a rest? Pastor Eugene wouldn't allow me to rest. He said you didn't come all this way to rest. And he told me of a story that he had one of his trips to Ghana. So then I realized that he wanted me to experience what he experienced. I just put it down to he's training me for what is to come. Did you receive it today? And I really do trust and hope that it could help to take us higher and take us further into our journey to the kingdom of God. I just want to rehearse a couple of points from today and then go into what we're going to speak about this evening. We started this morning with looking at a question. Are we free in the body of Christ? And I think we can conclude from that we are free, but we haven't learned how to walk in our freedom. And we want it to become a reality of our life because it can. And it's the journey of us of salvation through sanctification. You know, Jesus said, be holy for I am holy. And so we all at some point in time have to arrive at that place called holiness. Because Hebrew tells us that holiness without which no man will see God. And so that's our journey. We have to be free. And we have to know what being free means. We also talked about crossing this bridge from being of the world and being in this world, not of this world, and living on the other side in the kingdom, being led by the Spirit of God, and our lives being completely submitted and committed to God. And I hope that we understood from that that it really is not a mixture of the two, which the church really does a lot of today. And that mixture brings us, creates a culture that is called being lukewarm. And God will have nothing to do with that. I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters here, but for me, I have grown. It's like maybe 25 years now that I've been saved and I've been serving the Lord for over 10, and I have grown weary and tired of what, of just traditional Christianity and what it has come to mean today. And I can understand why a lot of people are falling out and why the churches are suffering the way it's suffering. Pastor Eugene was sharing with me about something that's happening in the United States about these, what do you call them, campuses, satellite campuses, where they get together and they don't ever really see a pastor. They just show probably they beam these satellite messages and so on. And he was telling me about how that works. I mean, if that is so, that's taking the body of Christ even a step further down. And that's what we have to come against. It says to me why we need to really become one body. And we have to be able to migrate out of this world into the kingdom of God. And I say migrate because I really see it as like a literal migration from one world into another. Just like if I were to migrate from my country here to the United States, it's a literal migration, leaving one and going into another and living in that place. We can no longer live according to the things of this world, the patterns of this world, the pleasures of this world. God has a more enjoyable life for us. The Word of God tells us in His presence, there is fullness of joy. And if we got a taste of that, I believe that we would not want the world's joy. And so this whole journey has to become reality, and we have to become satisfied in all that God promises us. I speak to so many believers, and that's the message, is that we're not satisfied in what God is promising. Why? We don't see them becoming real. They seem to be empty promises. That's not true. They could be real, but we have to become real. We can't pretend anymore. Do you know, I don't know here about Harvest, but across the body of Christ, there is a major spirit of pretense in the body of Christ. We pretend to be people of God, and there are different levels of pretense. If that doesn't change, we're doomed. This is part of what my wife said, you're going to go there and you're going to slap them. Well, I don't mean to slap, but I do take God's business seriously. I don't think it's a game. I don't think it's a business. It's life and death, eternally as well, so. So we talked about that this morning, and we also talked about the bridge that takes us across, this bridge called self-denial. If we are not willing to deny self, we cannot follow Christ and become like Him. If we are not willing to die for Him as He did for us, we won't have the newness of life. And I really hope and I pray by the Spirit of God that we get it into our hearts that this is a major change. It's not a small thing. It's a very big thing we have to do. Are you getting that sense? This is not just a simple thing. It is a major move. That's life or death. So we talked about self-denial being the beginning of realizing our divine identity. And I made a note here that as long as self forms the basis for our life, we would not see our sameness. We will just keep seeing differences. As long as self rules our life, we would keep seeing each other after the flesh. Remember, Paul said that now that we are a new creation in Christ, therefore I no longer regard any man after the flesh, but as a new creation in Christ. We don't see ourselves like that, far more see each other like that. Am I speaking true? But these things have to change and they have to become our reality. We won't enter the newness of life if we don't enter this doorway called self-denial. So we talked about that today. These are some of the important points that I think that take us across. And this is the bridge. We have to bridge this gap, individually becoming whole so that collectively the body of Christ could be one. And that's important. There's so much that could be said about this. And we also talked about that authentic unity, and it begins with us individually becoming whole and one in Christ by I abide in him, he in me. And if we all do that, we could become one body in Christ. The body of Christ, we become the body of Christ for real when Christ abides in us. Is that right? And we cannot love Christ and not love his body. My prayer often is that the church would wake up from just my own business and understand that we are one body. And gone are the days I would love to see where pastors restrict their members from visiting around because they may not come back. And the tithes and the offerings will drop. And all the other real motives of why we're doing this comes out. But this is our divine position of walking in our authority, walking in our identity of who we are, abiding in Christ, that we could become spiritually potent in fulfilling the purposes of God in the earth. And so with what we went through today, we can say, we can conclude with this, is that wholeness is to man what oneness is to the body of Christ. Without wholeness, man cannot realize his dominion potential. Without oneness, the church cannot demonstrate the fullness of God's power. The oneness of the church is therefore dependent upon the wholeness of its people. Would you agree to this? Yeah. And that's the journey that we are on. And so this evening, I have a question for you. Another question. This is the question. Am I fit for the kingdom? Am I fit for the kingdom? Jesus said, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. That's a really, really strong statement. Forgetting those things which are behind. Why? I'm a new creation in Christ. All things are passed away. This is our journey. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God. Am I fit for the kingdom? This journey is a really, really serious journey. There is no turning back. This one, you could burn your bridges behind you because there's no going back. That's the commitment that is required of us to walk with God. And if we think, you know, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. That's how serious this is. There's no mixture. We can't mix this thing up at all. And so where we left off, talking about aspects of the mind, I want to talk this evening about renewing the mind for our personal transformation. And we know that this, the freedom, the transformation, it is really freedom from bondage, becoming totally free. And what we said this morning is that true freedom is walking in the complete will of God, the perfect will of God, where we are led by the Spirit of God and God directs our life. Can you imagine living like that? We don't even have to worry about how things, you're just directed by God. Not a care, not a worry. God fixes everything. God guides you. You don't have to worry about how to figure anything out. And you know, women sometimes, well, maybe I should stick to my wife, lest I offend. They go into the closet. Sometimes it's not good to give a woman a big closet. And she spends an hour deciding what to wear after taking out several things and laying them out and putting them back. I said one time to my wife, I said, you know, honey, if you just talk to the Holy Spirit, you'll cut that time down. Because I'm a stickler for time, and my wife says she is, but the honest, I don't know if she'll hear this tape sometime, but she knows it's true. My wife is almost always late. Because you know how women are when they get in the bathroom. Does that happen in Philadelphia? It happens in my home. But believe, as simple as the Holy Spirit would even tell you, he would even direct you there. As simple as that song. You'll be guided in everything. So we're looking at the transformation and being truly set free. This is one of my pet areas because this can go so deep. Not that we're going to go deep this evening, but this can go really, really deep. Because as a man thinks in his heart, it governs his whole life and his destiny. And today, if we understood what we talked about today, as a man thinks in his heart, goes right down to his cellular level of his body. This is really, really powerful. And so we're going to be talking about that this evening. And the transformation, I want to just share this with you. I don't know if you know how a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. But some time ago, I looked and I researched that. And I always thought prior to the research that somehow this caterpillar went into the cocoon and it grew wings and its body shrunk a little bit smaller and it grew wings and it came back out. I used to think it happened something like that. But when I was reading it, this caterpillar spins this cocoon around itself, hanging upside down, and it encases itself in a cocoon like the last step you see on the old. And when it's fully encased, it starts to secrete an enzyme that completely dissolves the body into a fluid. It becomes just liquid inside of that. And the only thing that does not dissolve is what they call imaginal cells that just remain in there. And these imaginal cells carry a genetic blueprint of a butterfly. And they begin to go through their mitosis process and they begin to merge and they begin to multiply and they begin to form a brand new creature. It's not the same creature. It's brand new. So when the Word of God says, and I thought it was a good example, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. That new means never before existed. It doesn't mean we get a new makeover, our Holy Ghost makeover. It's new in that it never before existed. When we become a new creation in Christ, it's new, it's brand new. We never before existed. Which is why it's a complete, the Word of God says that when we become a new creation in Christ, we are conveyed out of this world, out of darkness, into his kingdom. What we want to do is let this become a reality for us. We cannot become, behold, all things are passed away. We've been conveyed into the kingdom of God, but somehow we are still living over here. And I think part of it may be because of how the church has compromised and become watered down and lukewarm over time, people are not getting the full picture of this. And mixture and lukewarmness is an acceptable culture of the church today. Pastor Eugene, I find this a really hard thing to break through. Because a lot of Christians, believe it or not, are very comfortable and satisfied with that, and they do not want to change. It's too much effort to move from that. Somebody has to do it. Because the church has to arise and become the church that Christ is coming back for. So this transformation that comes by the renewing of the mind is a complete change from the old to the new. From the world to the kingdom of God. A different way of life, a way of living that requires following a different set of laws, a different set of patterns, a different set of rules altogether. And these rules and principles we live by are not found in this world. They're found only in God's kingdom. So I believe we're together on that. Amen? I also would like to suggest that the transformation is also what we talked about today, which is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Hello. I'm not getting, if you can manually move it, because it doesn't seem to be responding. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, what does that scripture say? Anybody know? May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. It's gone too far ahead. If you're manually doing it, just take it back for me, please. Where am I? The transformation is our sanctification. Do you understand that? The transformation by the renewing of our minds is our complete sanctification, which is spirit, soul, and body. May the God of peace himself sanctify you or make you holy completely, spirit, soul, and body. And what that really means is that to be holy, you need to be whole. Do you see that? To be holy means we must become whole. And our wholeness and completeness is in Christ. That's the only place you become whole and complete, is in Christ. So Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith has to become our real position of living. And we read that this morning in Colossians 2. In Christ dwells the fullness of God, and we are complete in Christ. So let's stay right here and let's read Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Paul is pleading with the Romans here, Christians in Rome, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. How? Holy, which is the only way it's acceptable unto God, or your spiritual act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove by testing what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For us to reach that place of freedom, of living in the perfect will of God, we have to know what it is to renew our minds. Do you see that? We must be able to renew our minds to be able to walk in the will of God. And if we're going to renew our minds, we cannot be conformed to this world. If we are conformed to this world, that renewal process won't take place. And we need to be able to make this change so that we can live the reality of verse 1, where our lives is a continual worship unto God because we are holy, acceptable in his sight, and our life is a continual sacrifice of worship unto him. So we want to talk about renewing the mind, which is where our transformation comes, our complete sanctification. And believe it or not, this is all still in line with health. Unless you still think health is about how your body feels and functions, which, you know, that's just a small segment of health. I want to suggest to us that in thinking about transformation, it's a, and the completeness of the change of it from the old to the new, that we can look at a scripture. When I was researching transformation in the Bible, there is a scripture that's in Matthew that uses the same word. It's not translated transformation or transform, it's translated as transfigured. When Jesus went up onto the mountain with his disciples, Peter and James and John, and he was transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun. That word transfigured is the same word used in Romans 12 too for being transformed. And I'm saying this to suggest that the transformation speaks of that complete change, and it's not just, it's just not how I live and I just improve my living, or my moral values have become better. I don't live by, so I'm not so immoral in my ways, I'm more moral in my ways. It's not a simple change like that. It's not I don't do the bad things anymore, I now do better things. I now live as a better person. That's not the transformation. The transformation is a very deep inner spiritual change. It's one that is so deep that the glory of God will shine in your life. And so when we say being transformed, it's a complete change from the inside out. Again, we're changing the order of life back to its original thing where we're living from the inside out. So I'm just saying this, that we need to think of transformation as not just I don't just live, I've changed my bad ways and I now have good ways. It's way beyond that. It's a very deep inner change spiritually that will emanate out of your life, and you will bear the fruit of the Spirit. So we've got that, right? That's just for us to get a sense of that. And so looking at renewing the mind, I want to look at what the Word of God says is the issues that we have with our mind that needs to be changed. Well, first of all, we understood from today that we already had a problem. Once we are born into this world and we are born with this old sinful nature, our mind already has a problem. What's the problem with the mind? The Word of God says that the mind is hostile against God. It doesn't want to hear anything about God. So we go and witness to people, they don't want to hear anything about God. It's hostile against, I used to be very hostile against God. So the mind already has a problem. But let's look at a few things that what the Word of God is saying is the problem, understanding the problem with the mind that needs to be transformed. Ephesians 4:22-24 says that you put off concerning the former conduct, the old nature, that old way of it, put it off, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, that's living by the flesh, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's our journey, is always to become holy. Jesus gave us the pattern, be holy because I am holy. And so we're journeying into that, but we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. What does that mean? That we could come to this place of walking like Christ. There's a spirit to our mind which came from the old nature of this world, the old fallen nature. It's an attitude, it's a disposition, it's a perspective, a perception. It's a lean that we have of the way we think, and this is what we're trying to break through today. It's a paradigm, it's a pattern, a way of thinking, an attitude of mind that needs to be renewed because it subscribes and it's locked into this world. It comes with the old fallen nature. We have to be renewed in the spirit. It has to be dismantled. And there's a process we go through by learning how to think right and by learning how to bring every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. Any thought that exalts itself or goes contrary to the things of God, we bring it captive. And that all goes in line with what we talked about, is discipline. How could we be mindful of our thoughts, and when a thought comes in, we hope, right? You have to be aware, you have to be disciplined in the way you live. And I hope that we are getting the sense as we go through that, what is requiring from us to truly walk as a disciple of Christ. And it really sets us apart. So we want to be able to understand that we have a spirit to our mind, an attitude, a programming in our mind that was given by our fallen nature, that spirit, that attitude that is of the world, we have to be renewed in that. And we're going to come to understand in a little bit how we can do that. Are you following me? Good. I hope I'm following me. Let's look at understanding the problem in the mind a little bit further. First Peter 1, 13 to 14. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. Ignorance is a condition of the mind, your former ignorance, the old man that we're supposed to put off. Conforming yourselves, do not be conformed to the ways of this world, the patterns of this world, the thinking of this world. That is your former ignorance. That's our former ignorance. We don't live in this ignorance because, behold, all things are passed away. The old passing away, Pastor Eugene, has to become a reality where we live in the newness of our life. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. What does gird up mean? It means to secure, to protect, to encircle, to take charge of your mind. And believe me when I say this to you, if you test it, you're going to find it's true. And in my dealings with people, most people do not know how to think. People think, but they do not know how to think. We just think reflexively, automatically, compulsively. But we do not know how to direct and harness and control our thinking. The average, we were never taught these things. And believe me, it's something that we should learn to do. It's part of our daily devotion with God. We should practice being able to do that by keeping our minds and meditating on the Word of God. The loins of your mind speaks about the creative power of your mind. We need to be able to take charge of that, because our minds are very powerful. And the law of mind is belief. Belief is the law of the mind in that, and it is so powerful. Jesus said that if we believe anything and do not doubt it, nothing will be impossible to us. That's massively powerful. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and believe in your heart and you do not doubt, it must, has to, bound to, it must happen. It's that powerful. And because belief is the law of the mind, if we believe something to be true about our God, and somebody comes and challenges it, we'll defend it even if it's wrong, as long as you believe it's right. Isn't that true? Yeah. Just get into a room with some Hindus and Muslims and start to compare notes. And where I live, they have plenty of them. And so I deal with them. But I must tell you, I admire their commitment to their God because they're superior to the Christians in how they do that. Really. They have more reverence for their God than Christians do for our God. Really, these people reverence their God. They have fear of their God. They honor their God. They respect their God. A Muslim goes to a place to work. He has to be permitted that twice in his work day, he got to be permitted to break from whatever he's doing, put his mat on the ground, and bow down three times and pray to his God. You can't do that, he won't take the job. We get a job and they say you're required to work on Sunday. And you say, I'm sorry, sir, I can't do that. I have a day for my God. I'm sorry, we're not going to hire you. Okay, no problem, I'll find another job. Would we commit that way to our God? Trusting God that he's going to find a job for us. So I really do have, to some degree, some admiration for them. And we could probably take a page from them and how they really commit to their gods. So we want to be able to take charge of the creative potential of our minds. This is important. It is going to require us learning to bring every thought captive that is against the knowledge of God and the things of God. These are practical steps that we can learn to do. Now, something has to, some mechanism has to be built into the assembly, which what we're doing that. I was telling Pastor Eugene how we're doing that in our assembly to teach the people how to do that. Because if we just read philosophy in the book that says, bring every thought captivity and every imagination, how do you ever do that if you don't learn to practice to do that? If you don't engage it in some way, how do you ever learn to do it? And so it's something that everyone should practice. Now, the chances are I'm not going to do it at home by myself. But if we had a group in church that met once a week and we started to deal with these things, we probably might do it, which is how we are doing it in our church. It has to be practiced. It has to be engaged for it to become reality. We're still looking at understanding the problem of the mind. Am I getting okay? Here we go. This I say, Paul writing to the Ephesians, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. That is the root problem. Because of the blindness of our hearts, the ignorance that's in us, understanding darkened, futility of the mind, which is how the world walks. We are no longer of the world. All has passed away. Therefore, no longer walk as the rest of the world walks, in the futility or the ineffectiveness and the uselessness and the undirectedness of their minds. We are not to walk aimlessly. We are to be focused, directed people, living with meaning, living with purpose, and going somewhere in our lives. Because we are all going towards the same destiny, a blessed hope. So here we have the futility of our minds, where we have no governance over our minds, not effective, our understanding darkened. That speaks of blindness. Not able to see. So we hear the word of God, but we cannot see into it. We cannot receive revelation. We say, that's a good word. Even now, oh, that's a good word. Oh, yes, that makes sense. That's true. But as we sit here, or any time we sit in assembly and the word of God is being preached, how much of that is causing internal restructuring of our hearts? How much of what we are hearing is penetrating because of our hunger and thirst for righteousness, which the promise of God is if you hunger for it, you will be filled. And our receiving the word of God as truth into our hearts that reconfigures things is relative to our hunger. So when we come to church, and we're just casual, just another Sunday we come to church, you're not likely to receive a whole lot. But when we come to church with an attitude of expectation, I'm looking to see what God has to say, I can't wait to hear what God has to say today, I'm hungry, you bet you're going to receive more than the guy that just came to church because it's just another Sunday. Our receiving of the word of God is always relative to our hunger and thirst. That we have to hunger and thirst after righteousness. How do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? How do we be moved in our hearts for this if God is not the center of our life? If you're not striving for sanctification and Christ-likeness, if you're not motivated, and I'll tell you, as long as our minds are in the world, we don't hunger. We don't hunger for it. The things of God don't make it, it doesn't really move us. And we have these conditions of our mind, our understanding is darkened. We don't understand the word of God. The futility of our minds, walking like the way the rest of the world walks. That's why we cannot be conformed to the world, because of the ignorance, because of the blindness. One translation says the hardness of our hearts. That is the heart condition we talked about today. That heart condition has to be softened. Just like the natural body, we develop a hardness. They call it atherosclerosis. Yeah, the vessels start to harden and it starts to affect the heart. Well, if we don't come away and stop walking like the rest of the world walks, we will keep having a hard heart. We don't want our hearts to be hard. Come away from walking like the rest of the world. I mean, this thing keeps recurring over and over again throughout the scriptures. And it's our strongest struggle to break free from this world. Is that true? Yeah, it ought not to be. Where did this come from? The Lord searched the heart and test the mind. To give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. The way we live, the way we conduct our lives, the way we think, the Lord searches our hearts and tests our minds. He knows our intents, he knows our thoughts. If we don't fix this part of our being, this journey into sanctification, the transformation, the Christ-likeness, we have to harness and get a hold of renewing in our minds. And we're going to talk a little bit in a minute of how we can do that. He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And I put that there for us to understand is that the Holy Spirit that does the renewing. The Holy Spirit in us. And it's the Word of God that does the washing and regeneration, working with the Spirit of God in us. But the Spirit will not be activated to do its work if we don't let go of the world. Because Romans 8 keeps telling us over and over, to be carnally minded, we are going to be spiritually dead. I don't know how again for it to come across to us that to be renewed in our minds for transformation, the world has to be dropped like a hot potato. Never to look back at it. forgetting those things which are behind. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. No longer would I consider my brothers and sisters after the flesh, because we are new creations in Christ. I need to start seeing them that way. But I can't see you that way if I don't even see myself as a new creation in Christ. Are we still walking together? Talking about renewal of the mind. And we all, and this is where the rubber begins to meet the road. We all of us, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into his same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Spirit of Christ that dwells in our heart by faith, John says. Are being transformed into his image. We, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. If we can see the glory of God, if we can see it, as the word says, as in a mirror, beholding at it, gazing at his glory, gazing at his beauty, gazing at his compassion, gazing at the glory, the fullness of God. If we can gaze at it, if we can hold that, we will be transformed into his image from glory to glory. And it takes us back to something that we said today, that we talked about, and I want to look at it again from a different, a little bit of a different slant. And this is what Paul said to the Corinthians. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our bodies are not our own to do what we want with it. I want to say this to us. The majority of the Christian world has not gotten this revelation. We don't understand that our bodies are not our own. We don't perceive it. We can't even see it. You know why? Because we are still carnally minded, for the most part. We don't want to hear that. I mean, that one is a slap. Sorry. If we know the truth, we'd be free. I had to admit it about myself, my wife, my son. My son is a battle with him. I mean, a teenager today in this world, and the influence at school, high school, and the technology, you gotta fight against a whole lot of stuff. But you gotta do what you gotta do. My son, he's 16 years old, and he's lifting. He's in the gym and he's pumping iron, so he's getting buffed, and so he feels he's a man now. So he's beginning to get attitude. So he comes home recently, and he has rules to follow, and he started breaking these rules, and he thought it was okay. So I started to discipline him because he is hooked on this thing called technology. Fingers always going. Every minute, some electronic thing. So I said, when you come home on an evening, your phone, put your phone right here on this table and don't touch it till tomorrow morning. So he goes into his room and he hides in the closet and he takes up his tablet. So I go in the room, I said, give me the tablet. Put it here, don't touch it. So he sneaks into the bathroom and he picks up his laptop. So I go into the bathroom, I say, give me the laptop. But I need it for school. You come and show me the project you need it for, I'll give it to you when you finish, and give it back to me. All those things, they're all under wraps now. So he has attitude. As long as that attitude is there, these don't move from here. Fix it. Smile. Talk good. And let me tell you, there's nothing that grinds me down than a child disrespecting their mother. I ain't learned to overcome that one yet. When I see a child disrespecting their mother, boy, if you ever want to see my hand move, backtalk your mother or disrespect your mother. I don't know where that come from, somewhere in my past. I just can't take that. If I pass through a mall and I see a child backtalking to the mother, I mean, I just want to jump in there and snatch that child. And I'll tell you, in America, that's big. Oh, you can't hit them child abuse, they'll run to, oh yeah? Not where I come from. Where I come from, you're going to feel it. And if you talk about child abuse, you're going to feel it more. No? I don't know how I ended up there, but this, I don't know how we to get this revelation except we start to break free from the world. You know what this says? Do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And by the way, when it says your body, it's not talking just your physical body. Just like present your body a living sacrifice, it's not just talking about your physical body, it's talking about your bodily life, your life in the body. So it means your whole life. Present yourself a living sacrifice. Don't you know that you are the temple? Spirit, soul, body, inner court, outer court, holy of holies. Don't you know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells inside of you? And that you're not your own? The fact that we don't live like we, or the fact that we live like we are our own, means we don't understand who we are. We don't understand that we are God. We do not understand this truth. That's why when we get in front of the buffet table, we still struggle because we do not have this perception. This needs to be meditated on. This needs to be talked about for weeks in the church, in groups, until it sinks in and we start to change. But the glory that we have to look at, that brings the transformation from glory to glory, step by step, stage by stage, that glory is in glorifying God. It means that work has to be done. God has to be, Christ has to be exalted or glorified in our life, physically and spiritually. That's what we were talking about today. Because we are not our own. Don't you know that you are the temple of God? Ask that to any believer. They'll say yes. If you know that to be true, why have you not been set free from that? From living contrary to that? Because we know it in our minds, we don't know it in our hearts. We know it intellectually, we don't have the revelation of it. It's only the Spirit of God that will give us the revelation. Brothers and sisters, we cannot conform to this world, otherwise our mind will not be transformed. And we will continue to walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of our minds. This is the church's struggle. And the people are in church, I'm not speaking of Harvest necessarily, but the people in assemblies all across the world, they are not spiritually growing. We are not bearing the fruit of the Spirit. You can speak to people who've been in church for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and they have not borne the fruit of the Spirit yet. And they're even okay with that. Well, the time has come where that has to change. And if we got anything out of today and what we are saying now, if we can get this, God must be glorified. How are we sanctified? By truth. What's the truth? The Word of God. If you abide in me, my word abide in you, where? In your heart. It abides in your heart, what? You don't sin against God, you live in obedience, all that's part of the journey. And to glorify God, truth, his word, truth must be applied. This is how we will gaze at his glory. To see it means that we are employing it every day. Physically, and spiritually we are engaging in spiritual kingdom principles that glorify God. In my natural life, I am doing things every day that glorifies Jesus Christ. In my spiritual life, I'm employing the truth and the word of God that glorifies him. This is how I get to see and always be looking at his glory. By applying his truth, which he is the truth. He is the word. And I make him a reality by living according to that. He is glorified the way how I live in my natural and in my spiritual life, which is how my mind is going to be renewed. Because the mind, as we learned today, is just a manifestation or outflow of the spirit and the body in union. Am I making any sense? We have to glorify God. I don't know there is a visible and an invisible, when I say visible and invisible, there is a part of our mind that deals with the external world that's visible, and there's a part of our mind that deals with the invisible. This subconscious mind is the heart of man. The subconscious mind is the part of mind that still baffles science today. They call it sub because it seems to be under. And 90% of our mental faculties, 90% of the activity of our minds is subconscious. Only 10% is conscious. And that 90% is where reality takes place in our life. Not the 10% that we could see and that we are observing. Our awareness, that's only 10%. But that's not reality. Reality is right at the bottom. Let me explain what I mean. Why we do the things we do, why we respond to the things the way we respond to issues of life, why we think the way we think, what drives our life, what directs our actions, everything that we do, why we do it that way, why we respond to life that way, comes from our subconscious mind. We don't have to think about it, we just naturally respond that way. It's driven subconsciously. Our conscious mind just deals with what we are aware of here happening right now. But what's happening here right now, you are listening, you're observing with your conscious mind, but you are transposing things right at the bottom here. And you're developing opinions, judgments, thoughts, agreements. You're determining from what I'm saying, you're transacting things under here. And you will make, it will cause you to drive or it will cause you to respond to me. Just as an example, in particular ways, because of what's driving at the bottom, not because of what you physically, not what's at the top. Life is driven from the bottom. The reality of our living takes place there. And this is where we have buried stuff and inherited stuff from the womb that's causing us to be who we are today. And that's what has to be set free. By the renewal process. The subconscious mind, as the chart here says, our beliefs and values, our character, our motives, all these things our subconscious. Now, the subconscious mind is connected to your spirit via what they call the sympathetic nervous system. It's a bunch of nerves behind your stomach. The sympathetic nervous system receives impulses from your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind is connected to your spirit. The conscious mind, the 10%, receives impulses from your central nervous system, which is connected to the world, your external environment. We want to live internally, not externally. So we want to be able to walk in this world, observe all that's happening, but not be influenced by it. And for that to happen, our life has to be ruled from the bottom, which is to be ruled by spirit. For that to happen, if we don't engage a process of self-denial to gain governance over the senses, the gates that bring everything from the world in, if we don't gain control over that, this doesn't happen and we never get free. We never get free. You notice I like to walk up and down? It's called exercise. That's why I don't gain weight again, you know? I always walking around. Then when I get home, I have to put my feet up. So the subconscious mind is relative to our internal. This is a thought. It's just the gospel according to me now. It is my belief that because when man disobeyed God, the order of life changed, that man originally lived by the power of his mind, which is the subconscious mind is the power of your mind. That's the part of your mind that can change this world. That's the part of your mind that can create, that is creative and will cause things to manifest in this world. And that when the order of life changed, that change really now is governed by conscious instead of subconscious. That's just my belief. But as we become more spiritually minded, we start to now tap in to where the power source is, which is our subconscious mind. And all that just to say, we have to crucify, mortify, kill, obliterate, whatever you call it, the flesh. And don't live with mixture anymore. So we create our reality and our life and our destiny by how we configure our hearts by the renewing of this mind. And I think that's all I really wanted to tell you today, that I just wanted to link this, how important it is. The transformation is sanctification. It comes by the renewing of the mind, and that means we cannot be conforming to this world. In no way. Why? They are not of the world just as I am not of the world, Jesus said. And that's what we have to do. It's the same message, that the same thread that ran through all today. It's the same thread. Why is it so prevalent? I think it's because it's so hard for man to do. It's hard for us to pull free and break free. The futility of our minds. Continuing to walk the way the world walks. And so we do not understand new creation in Christ. All things have passed away. You've been conveyed into the kingdom. You're no longer of this world. That still doesn't quite grab and make sense to us because we are not engaged in this process. So that's my thoughts for this evening. It's been a long day. I need to be renewed in my mind. Pastor Eugene, did you receive anything from this evening? I did too. I really want to thank Harvest Fellowship for welcoming me. I really do feel at home here. I feel at home pretty much anywhere I go, anyway. It's one body. And I'll tell you, I love you guys. I don't know you, but I can tell you that. I sense and I feel the love in this house, and I connect to that. I connect to the heart of your leader. He's a good man. Right heart. Something is going to happen, sir, and you're going to release a grace into this house that's going to change the culture in here. Yeah. I bless and I thank God. Heavenly Father and God, it's an honor and it's a privilege to serve your throne. And I am thankful for the opportunity to address your people here at Harvest Fellowship. It is my prayer, O God, that in your sovereignty you would bypass every hindrance, bypass every personal hang-ups that anyone in here would have, God, and go straight to our hearts. Touch, shift, enlighten, open our eyes, deepen our sight, give revelation. Shift us, God, further away from the old. Draw us into the newness that you suffered for us to walk in. Let the unity of your spirit become alive in this house. Let agreement and accord and oneness and sameness begin to knit us together. Let it begin to consume our minds and our hearts, Father. Transform us by your Spirit as we commit and yield ourselves to the Spirit that you have given to us, that power working in us, as we submit completely and purpose in our hearts to let go of the old and put it off and walk in the newness of the life that you've given to us. Help us to see the value of what you've given to us, the power, the awesomeness of who we are as a royal priesthood, a special people, a holy nation, people that walk with you in your kingdom. Holy God, let your will be done as you have ordained it for each life here this evening. And I pray in the name of Christ Jesus for a grace to come down into this house to start to reconfigure minds and hearts, Lord, and bring us into the place that you know we should be, that will bring glory, honor, and praise to you. And the people on the outside would know who we are. To you we give thanks. To you we give praise. Bless the leadership of this house, O God. Continue to release the divine grace from your heavenly realm upon your manservant and every other leader that you've raised up in this house. Equip them, O God, to take this word and these truths and let it become instilled in the hearts of the saints. However you direct, O God, but don't let it leak out and die. All for your name's sake and all for your glory and honor. Thank you for this evening. Bless your people. Bless them, O God. Bless them. Bless them, Father. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Only 10% of all that is going on in our minds is what we see and what we're involved in. The rest is subconscious, our belief system. Can we say even our experiences that we have buried in there that cause us to think a certain way? Lord, change us. Set us free from those things. Amen. I want you to go home, get a good night's rest. It has been a long day. So many things that we need to discuss, talk about, mull over. Can you see now how being in health has a lot more than to do with what I feel or my body? It's all linked together. And so God's setting us totally free, not only from physical illness, but also our subconscious that holds us in bondages. And so get a good night's sleep. Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. will be our morning service. And then tomorrow night again at 6 o'clock, it'll be a little bit earlier because tomorrow's the Lord's Day and we have two services. And I'll let you rest in the afternoon. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. And take what God has written on the wall of your heart and apply it to your life. God bless you.